You're listening to The Leonard LoPage Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
If you're heading out to the beach for the weekend or even just over to your local pool, you might be interested to know that according to the Centers for Disease Control, disease organisms found in pools, lakes, and oceans in the United States sicken thousands and even kill some people every year. So should we avoid swimming altogether, or are there common sense strategies for dealing with recreational water? With me now to sort it all out is Manona Russell, an environmental health expert who visits us from time to time to talk about health and safety issues. It's always a pleasure to see you, Manona.
Nice to be here.
Doesn't the Centers for Disease Control even have a name for this type of illness?
Which type of illness?
The recreational water illnesses.
Recreational waterborne illnesses, I guess, would be the general category.
And how do they collect their numbers?
All of the health departments in 31 states report whenever they think they have an infectious disease that is related to water.
That's 31 states. We do have 50 states.
There's a lot of states that don't have a budget for that kind of reporting. So it's just not happening.
And I gather also that they're kind of out of date right now. So do we even have any sense of just how big a problem this might be?
Well, if we look at the 31 states, the last report was from 2005, 2006, where they've completely got all of those figures together. And it showed around 4,000 reportable illnesses.
Now, what does that mean? Is that when people actually seek medical attention?
That's right. So we also know those numbers are very low for that reason. I think they estimated that 10% of the population that have diarrhea or other illnesses that they think are pool-related, like rashes, never seek care. And some doctors don't report, even though they think it's related to water.
And do the victims always recognize that it's the water that made them ill? I'm assuming some of them might think that it was the shellfish that they ate at dinner.
That's absolutely right, because there's almost always a time lag. You don't jump in the water and immediately develop a rash. It's usually hours after, sometimes days after, or especially diarrhea doesn't happen right away.
What kinds of organisms are we talking about here? Bacteria, viruses, parasites?
Yes, all of them.
All of them.
And rickettsia and amoeba.
And are they more likely to be found in fresh water, like lakes or swimming pools or in the ocean?
Or in the ocean. Well, you see, microbes developed originally in salt water. So they have there's a real nice, interesting group of them that live well in the ocean.
But doesn't salinity kill off a lot of bacteria?
No. The ones that live there love it. They would be really unhappy without any salt. So this idea that, well, there's salt water, so it's safe, no, that's just not so. But it's a different set of bacteria and organisms that live in salt water versus those that live in fresh water and those that live in pools.
See, I always thought that fresh water, like a lake or a pool, would be more susceptible because it's an enclosed area.
In a way, it is. It's like a small chemistry experiment, you know, where you're adding chemicals, but also Mother Nature is naturally adding bugs. If it's out in the air, there are things that are airborne, and people getting in the pool bring their bugs with them. If somebody lets their dog swim, bad idea. Now they got more. So it just keeps happening.
But what about the vastness of the oceans? Doesn't that dilute the problem?
No, it just gives more space for them to live.
Oh, I see. And what about fast-moving waters like rivers? Well, I'm trying to look for some place where I can go swimming.
Well, actually, fast-moving air water that has just gone over a waterfall and is highly aerated is likely to have less than some other types of water.
I see. Well, that's a very specific situation. What about natural hot springs? Don't they usually contain a lot of sulfur, which I would assume would be a disinfectant?
Some of those are some of the worst places. They actually kind of feed the bacteria, and there are bacteria that just thrive in these hot springs.
Is any place safe? What about jacuzzis and hot tubs?
Do you know, I know of a case, I think it was 91, where 23 people developed Legionnaire's disease from walking by a jacuzzi exhibit in a mall.
By an exhibit?
By an exhibit. Because it becomes airborne the same as it does with air conditioning systems when it gets into a mist form.
So what about decorative fountains? Can the spray from them be contaminating?
I think it was in Ithaca, there was 1,700 people in 2005, I think, that developed cryptosporidium from being around a fountain. They didn't even have to go into the fountain.
Inflatable pools for the kids?
Well, kids are the worst buggers. I mean, I guess that's the wrong word, but they bring their bugs with them. And then, of course, they breed in the water. That's why if there's really good pool management in a building, the kiddie pool of the people with the young is separate. The filtration systems, everything is separate.
And why are the kids more dangerous?
Well, they have more accidents. Their hygiene is usually poorer. They also want to swim even when they shouldn't. They may not be feeling well, or they may have diarrhea or something. So it's a real problem. The little panties that are made, you know, for the little kids, none of those are guaranteed to keep diarrhea out of a pool. So
well, 1 in 6 Americans, according to a recent poll, admit to having urinated in pools. Does that cause illness?
Well, that causes not only illnesses but allergy. When you walk into a place where there's a pool and you say, I know there's a pool in this hotel because I can smell the chlorine, you're wrong. That's not chlorine you're smelling. You're smelling a chemical called chloramine. And chloramine is produced when the chlorine reacts with nitrogen-containing chemicals like sweat and urine. So what you're smelling is other people's effluvia having reacted with the chlorine. A really good chlorinated pool that's well-balanced doesn't have a smell. It's a nice, clean odor. There's almost no odor at all. But when you smell that chlorine smell that we associated with pools, you are smelling other people's mistakes.
But is chlorine a good thing? I would assume it is.
Well, you better have it, or you're going to be getting everybody's effluvia.
Because I've always wondered whether the chemicals they put in to protect us aren't as dangerous as the things they're protecting us against.
Well, less so, but there were about 200-some accidents having to do with chlorine overexposures.
And some people are allergic, aren't they, or have bad reactions?
Well, you're not allergic to chlorine, but you can be allergic to the chloramine, and you can be allergic to the persulfates that they do when they shock the pool. They were worried about the pools having too many bacteria and so on, so they put this persulfate material in there. Some people are exquisitely allergic to it. I first found out with it was Cirque du Soleil, because they have a show called O, where all the professional swimmers are in the pool all the time. And so they were shocking that pool, and some of those people literally developed serious health. They had to come up with another method for dealing with the bacteria, because some of these people couldn't swim in a pool that had been shocked.
Do they put alcohol in their ears and other places where there might be a problem after they come out of the pool to protect themselves?
Well, that's what we did on the road when I was a kid. There was a diver named Sam Howard, who was an Olympic diving medal winner in the 40s, I believe. It tells you how old I am. And as a young child, we would travel with him. He had an act where he would do all kinds of trick diving off a 30-foot board, and then as a finale, he'd climb up 100 feet and dive into this pool. The pool was portable. He would set it up and
so
fill it up with water.
So it was a 6-foot pool he was jumping into from 100 feet?
Yes, 6 feet deep was all it was, and I mean, I don't know how he did that. But I was a professional acrobat on the road, so I would also go off the 30-foot board, and one time he said, I think I saw your head come up before your feet disappeared, because I was a pretzel. But we would work every day in that pool, and he would make us put alcohol in our ears immediately after and take a shower immediately after, because the water gets funky.
My guest is Monona Russell, chemist and industrial hygienist, founder and president of Arts, Crafts, and Theater Safety. And we're talking about whether the pool is safe. Well, a lot of places insist that you take a shower before you go into the pool. Doesn't that cut down on the problem?
Boy, that really does. And you know they were doing that in Japan for centuries. And, you know, it was just good, clean common sense. And when looking at the Centers for Disease Control and the Healthy Swimmers websites over the last few days preparing to talk to you about this, the figure that just knocked me out was that they said the average person, just walking around person, has 0.14 grams of fecal material on their bottoms. I don't know who gave them the grant to do this study or just exactly how they did the study, but there is the data. So unless you take a pretty good shower, you're bringing 1.4 grams to that water, or at least the average person is, and that's not counting children, which can be a lot different. So we really should take a shower really before we enter a pool.
What kinds of diseases are we talking about here? Can you tell us about some of the most common ones, how to recognize the symptoms and where we may be likely to contract each of them?
Boy, there's a lot of them. The cryptosporidium is the one that we see so often. And one of the reasons is that this parasite just does not respond well to chlorine. It can last in an average chlorinated pool for 10 days. Chlorine doesn't affect it very much unless you shock it.
So chlorine kills E. coli right away.
Yeah.
Hepatitis fairly soon. Even Giardia, I gather, in 45 minutes. But cryptosporidium in 10 and a half days?
That's
takes that
right.
Long?
And that's provided you don't have cinuric acid in the pool to stabilize your chlorine, which is a common practice. That'll make it even longer.
So why does it take so long to kill this thing?
It's tough. It's in there was a case in Milwaukee where over 100,000 people developed the disease because the cows were grazing too close to the reservoir. And it went right through the water treatment plant. So even those high levels of chlorine and all of the chemicals that they use in the filtration processes in a big city water treatment plant didn't touch that cryptosporidium.
There's also gastroenteritis. There's leptospirosis, Legionnaire's disease, swimmer's ear, swimmer's itch, hot tub rash, all of these things that we have to contend with. And isn't there even an amoeba that goes through the sinuses and into the brain?
Yeah, there. In that period of time that the CDC was collecting the data between 2005 and 2006, there were 3 deaths from that. Unless you get extremely rapid treatment, that's fatal within 3 to 7 days. The amoeba is common, actually. It's around. But for some people, it will go right through the sinuses into the brain and cause a type of encephalitis that's fatal.
My guest is Manona Russell, and she is the founder and president of Arts, Crafts, and Theater Safety. She's a chemist and industrial hygienist, regular visitor to our show. And we will take your calls when we come back after a little break. Our number here is 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. We're back with Manona Russell, a chemist and industrial hygienist, founder and president of Arts, Crafts, and Theater Safety. And in a little while, we'll be taking your calls. We're talking about the things that swim with us in our pools, our lakes, our ponds, our oceans. And you mentioned cryptosporidium, which is particularly difficult to get rid of. How would we know we even came down with it?
Well, now that they have reporting for infectious diseases, if you really report with a serious diarrhea, they are likely to actually culture what is causing it. That's how we have those reports that we do have from the Centers for Disease Control. And then they can see the organisms.
Many of these will cause diarrhea, although they're different organisms?
Yes. There's a great number of them. Bacteria, parasites, it's just a number of things. Maybe it can all cause dysentery.
What about HIV/AIDS? There was a time when people were afraid that if they went to a swimming pool, that they might come down with the illness. Earlier, when I was a kid, it was polio that that people feared at swimming pools.
Well, anytime there's a disease that comes up in it's fairly new, we practice precautions. Sometimes we practice them more than we need to, but it's better in a way to practice those precautions until we really know the organism. So in those early days, we thought polio and HIV could be transmitted that way. But now we know that that's not really the major problem. The major problem is getting all the kids together at the poolside. That's where you see the disease transmission in body fluid exchange.
So how can people enjoy swimming and stay safe? Can we find inspection reports for public pools or public beaches online?
Well, you know, if you walk into a pool area and you smell huge, strong chlorine smell, that should be a clue that, you know, something isn't right here. And you want to see posters up on the wall that tell people not to swim when they're sick, not to swallow the water, to wash before getting in the pool, all those basic things. You would like to see inspection reports if you ask for them. It should all be there.
And they're supposed to keep them available to the public?
I think if you ask, a good pool manager would be thrilled to show you what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Because the good ones want you to feel sure and safe.
That's right.
Should we take some calls?
Sure.
Okay. Our number here is 212-433-9692. And our first caller is David from the East Village. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you? I swim virtually every day of the year at New York City public pools, mainly the Astor Levy. And I have something called the Columbia Home Medical Book, something like that. I don't think I've really ever gotten sick from there. Sometimes it's clogged ear. And what the Columbia book says is to not drops of alcohol in your ear, but 50-50 alcohol vinegar.
That sounds perfectly reasonable.
And then because that will kill bacteria? Well, it won't kill a virus, will it?
No, it wouldn't. But the Pseudomonas that usually causes swimmer's ear is pretty susceptible to a lot of types of disinfectants. It's pretty easy to kill.
Thank you for your call. We go now to Barbara from Westchester. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just have a quick question. My daughter works as a counselor in a day camp here in Westchester, and she did last summer. Last summer she had a rash. The summer ended. She went back to college. The rash went away. Now she's back working there, and it's a rash on the back of her thigh, the elbows, the inside of the elbows. And the only thing we can think of is the pool with all the kids. Is that a possibility?
Yes, of course. You really need to get medical opinion on that.
She went last summer, at the end of the summer, to a dermatologist who told her it was folliculitis from shaving, but nobody shaves their elbows. And they're inside of their elbows.
Wrong doctor.
Try you haven't seen one. My elbows.
We're trying to think if it is the pool with all these kids in the pool every day.
It very well could be. There's just so many possibilities, though. You need to talk to a medical person.
And a different doctor, obviously, than the one you went to.
Okay. I mean, clearly.
Okay.
And they'll take a culture? Is that what they do, Monona?
That's one of the things they do, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, thank you. Howard from Manhattan, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I have seen studies that indicate that chlorine is a carcinogen, and I understand for that reason in Europe they use non-toxic sterilizing methods such as ozone, and I'd like to hear your opinion on that, as well as what do you think the influence of the chemical industry is in preventing us from moving towards less toxic alternatives?
Well, ozone is certainly not a less toxic alternative. It has the same air quality standard that phosgene does, which is chemical warfare gas. So by inhalation, ozone is a really toxic material. It has to be very carefully controlled. If you're going to introduce ozone into a pool, you have to make sure that by the time that gas makes it to the top of the water, that it is all dissipated. Otherwise, you've got something even worse in the air. So this is not just a simple question. And chlorine itself is not a carcinogen. What sometimes becomes carcinogens is when chlorine attaches to certain complex organic molecules. A lot of those are carcinogens. So it's the reaction products of the chlorine that are a problem. The chlorine itself is just a hell of a active, very short-lived chemical.
Well, if we swallow it, because sometimes you do swallow water if you're swimming in a pool, is the chlorine going to be dangerous for us, or the ozone?
No, not much more than the chlorine in the water that you drink. It's a little higher in quantity, but you're going to be much more at risk from the bugs that are in the water.
The CDC recommends avoiding beaches after heavy rainfall. Why is that? Is rainwater bad? I thought rainwater was clean.
Well, the problem is not the rainwater. That's nice stuff. The problem is the fact that most cities now have treatment facilities that can't handle the kind of runoff that occurs, and a lot of the sewer water also comes from the rain and goes directly into the beaches. So we see the treatment plant overflow, we see the stuff from the sewers, all of that ends up in the beach areas. So they usually have people going out and testing that water until the E. coli drop to reasonable levels.
Now, let's say I collected rainwater, which is pure water, and put it into my backyard swimming pool, inflatable swimming pool. That would be perfectly fine when I first got in, but then because of the things on my body and the bodies of the other people who might use the pool, it would become infected almost immediately?
Yeah, very quickly. Very quickly. Standing water will develop Legionella in a really short period of time. Well, just even the water that's coming from the tap will do it. You know, I have trouble in the professional jobs I have with laboratories and with art schools, getting them to flush the eyewash stations. The things that you wash the chemicals out if you have a chemical splash, those have to be run 3 full minutes every week. If they're not, they grow so many amoeba and bacteria that they can blind a person if it gets in their eyes.
Now, a washing machine with regular detergent will kill most of these things, won't it?
Yes, it will. It does a pretty good job. There are a few things that will survive it, but not many.
And my bathing suit?
It depends on how funky it gets, I guess.
Or where I've been swimming. Winona Russell is a chemist and industrial hygienist, the founder and president of Arts, Crafts, and Theater Safety, and we are taking your calls at 212-433-9692. We're talking about the little things that swim with us in pretty much every place that we go swimming. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. And we go now to Guy from Stanford. Hi, Guy. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Okay. How are you doing?
Well, I don't know. I've been fighting this thing with the water for a while. I live just off a stream, and I have a well system. I believe that the water from the stream probably leaches into my well. And they've tested the well coming in. I've got a pretty intensive filtration system. It costs about $10,000 in the house now. But I've been through all sorts of doctors trying to, because I have these kind of strange symptoms like invisible rashes and itching and all this stuff going on. And what I find is that most of the doctors have blinders. They when it comes to an environmental issue, they just... they're clueless, and then I end up getting sent to Yale New Haven, which is their industrial place, and the doctor up there diagnosed me with multiple chemical sensitivity. Now, what I went there for was to ask the doctor, will you test the water in my well? Will you correlate it to my symptoms and give me, you know, is this what's causing my problems or not? And he just came off with this whacked out diagnosis about, you know, without testing anything. And I just said, you know, the guy hasn't done his job, and so just disregarded what he said. But I guess my question to the host here, or to
Winona,
is where could I go to get some real help with this? Where I can find a doctor who actually understands this and understands how to deal with it? I know there's possums in this stream, and that they create leptospirosis. You know, I even went to my vet trying to get help because at least they have a sign about leptospirosis up in their office. But But
well, you know, if you have what type of filtration system have you got?
Well, I have what's called a super system, which is essentially it's a small municipal water system. When it, you know, it has a mixing valve in it. It mixes into a tank. It drops in potash and chlorine. Then it filters it out through an aggregate filter, and then beyond the aggregate filter, it filters it out through a carbon filter.
Well, if you're really concerned about that, and if you really think it's due to the water, you've got a couple of ways to go. But the first thing I would do is get myself an osmotic system so that the only water I was exposed to didn't have anything in it. Then you don't have to worry about this. Or I would go to bottled water. I don't know why you would continue to work with the water that is coming from your well if you think that that may be the problem. If nothing else, it would help you with your own diagnosis.
But you say that you can purify that water.
Yeah, there
are
ways.
Through an osmotic system.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, and good luck. We go now to Leah from Queens. Hi, Leah. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is, as an Orthodox Jew, the mikveh is a big part of our lives, a ritual bath. I don't know if you know what that is, but, you know, it's literally like, you know, rainwater that's collected at this, like, big, you know, pool. And I'm just wondering, should I be concerned? We don't spend a lot of time in it. You literally spend, like, maybe a minute in it, just kind of going in the pool and then coming out. Should I be concerned about all these bacteria and all these viruses?
Well, there are a lot of women going into that pool on the same day as you, aren't there?
Yes, there are.
How big is the ritual bath? How big is the mikveh?
It's probably usually about 5 feet deep and maybe 6 by 6, I would say.
Boy, that's small space for a lot of bugs. I would certainly want to take a shower when I got out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and the thing is, everyone bathes before they go in.
Good.
That's part of the ritual.
Helps.
Everyone bathes before they go in.
So since it's just a brief ritual and you are bathing and maybe you should take a shower afterward, there probably shouldn't be a problem, right?
Yeah, I would think not.
And you have never gotten sick, have you?
No, I've never gotten sick, but I've heard some rumors that, like, group B strep, which is, you know, many women have, that it's supposedly prevalent in the Orthodox Jewish women community. I don't know if you've heard anything about that, and that maybe it's because of the mikveh.
Yeah, see, strep is not something that's commonly passed in pools because it's very killable by chlorine. But without chlorine, that could be a source.
And they're not using chlorine in the mikveh, are they?
I think they are. I think they do
use
chlorine.
Good.
Okay.
That's good.
Well, then it may come from other things. There are all sorts of reasons people can get strep, I would think. A number of listeners are asking about swimming in rivers, the Hudson and the East River, for example.
Well, there's other problems there. Get some PCBs and some other good stuff.
We've been cleaning up those rivers to some degree, but I just recently took a trip up the Newtown Creek with the Riverkeeper boat. And it was stunning just how polluted that water was. And that water empties right into the East River.
That's right. Yeah, there's not many waterways that don't have pollution in the United States.
Oh, well, this one has oil spills
and
has concrete and has all sorts of other things going into it. So what we forget is that that water travels, and what's in the Newtown Creek eventually could wind up miles and miles away.
Yeah, for example, the Ganges, one of the reasons there was so little illness from bathing in the Ganges is it went over a copper deposit up high. And there was a high copper level in that water, which gave it, of course, a greenish color as well. But that's a pretty good biocide.
A listener asks, if what we're saying is true, how come most people don't get sick going into these pools?
Most people are tougher than the bugs. They really are.
So some people are more susceptible than others? Is that simply, or that day, perhaps their immune system is a little more compromised?
That's right. And there are people who can deal with cryptosporidium and just maybe have very few symptoms. And there's others that there'll be really, really a problem with. So we've been seeing these bugs in one form or another since mankind developed. So some of us are much stronger, much more capable of resisting than others.
We go now to EJ from Manhattan. Hi, EJ. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you? I notice here, whenever it rains, I live in Chelsea, that the day following a heavy rain, whenever I turn on the tap, I can smell a very strong smell of chlorine. And I always assume that's because they put more chlorine in the water because of the runoff. But based on what you say, am I actually then smelling chloramine?
Well, my guess is that that water that's coming out of your tap is coming from way upstate and probably has nothing to do with the runoff in your area. I think that comes through all kinds of large water pipes all the way from the reservoirs upstate.
Well, I don't know how old the water pipes are in Chelsea, because Chelsea's built on landfill, so if there's leakage... Because it's inevitable. Whenever
if,
there is a heavy
if water rain. Pipes have a leak, they leak out, not in, because they've got pressure. So nothing is leaking into your water pipes, that's for sure.
So what would account for the, I mean, it's just noticeably more chlorinated after a heavy rain?
That's a mystery to me.
And other people have noticed this, too. I've asked other people.
Maybe he has to call the city.
Yeah,
what do you think? The water department should answer that.
They should.
We are pretty much out of time, but just to back up a bit, if someone does fall ill after swimming, what should they do?
You want to go see a doctor. Again, because some of the illnesses, not many, but a few, are serious. So you do want to get some advice, and you also would like to have the doctor know that you think the source is the water, because then he, if he's up on his stuff, will also report it.
A listener asked about the effectiveness of ultraviolet filtration for swimming pools. Does that work well?
Ultraviolet also breaks down chlorine, so it's a mixed blessing. It isn't going to get everything, because many bugs do very well with ultraviolet. They've been used to the sun.
I don't think I'm ever going to go swimming again.
But the majority of people who swim don't get sick.
Well, I haven't so far, but then again, I don't go swimming that often. And maybe never again, as I said. Monona Russell, who's a chemist and industrial hygienist, founder and president of Arts, Crafts, and Theater Safety, has been our guest today. And you always respond to the questions that you get on our show page.
Very good. I will.
Okay. This is going to open up an awful lot of questions for an awful lot of people. And in the past, you've been really wonderful about that, and I thank you very much.
Well, it's been fun.